mainly. We do go out to a couple different other verses. Let's start with our text, Proverbs 11, verse 2. Wisdom concerning pride. Soon we'll be coming to a close on our wisdom series through the book of Proverbs, and I'm praying about what direction to go, but I am praying about the Baptist distinctives. What are the Baptist distinctives? I think that would be a good series and a reminder of what makes us Baptist, what makes us different than so many other churches. Anyway, you pray about that. That'll be several weeks out. Not going to be closing this out very quickly, but several more weeks. We're talking about pride tonight. And there's a lot of warnings in the book of Proverbs about pride. It says here, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Remember, what is the book of Proverbs about? Wisdom. What are we seeking? Wisdom. But if you have pride, then you're going to get shame, not wisdom. And I want you to turn over to Isaiah chapter 14. You see, if there's a sin that God hates or despises above all other sin, it is pride. Why? Because if you think about it, according to the Bible's revelation, you have Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. They give us a view of what happened in heaven for Satan to fall. We find him in the garden already in, before Genesis 3, he's already fallen from heaven. He's already cast out. So the Bible here is recording about Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14. I don't think I have that up there, but 12 to 14. Pride is the first sin. Pride is the sin of Satan, the sin of Lucifer. What does it say here in verse 12? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? That's what he does today. He's weakening the nations. He's weakening the U.S. and every other nation. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Here he is. Here's his pride. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Let's pray. Father, tonight, as we look at this sin of pride, may it be a warning to all of us, because we're not one of us is exempt from the sin of pride. Father, we know it's at the top of the list of things you hate. And Father, help us to learn how to hate pride, but especially pride in our own hearts. And Father, give us this warning. Open our eyes tonight. May the Holy Spirit of God be the one speaking and bringing conviction and bringing change to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, the word in the Hebrew language for pride, I guess I did have it all on there, is a word that is speaking about boiling up. You can see it, someone boiling up. It's talking about defiance or rebellion. It has to do with an inflated opinion of yourself. Look at Lucifer. Obviously, this is pride. Now, what is the result of pride? Just like everything else we see in God's Word, it tells us in Proverbs 11:2 that it brings shame and disgrace. Just think about Satan now, Lucifer, the son of the morning. And Ezekiel 28 tells us, you know, he had the instruments in him. That's how he can take music and he can turn it into a stumbling block for people today. Like, you can try to take the world's music and make it Christian. That's just Satan. He's a musical being. So he can take all that and twist it all up. And that's what he does. And he uses it against Christians. He uses it in the world. He uses it against God. He's opposing the work of God. But think of the shame he has. Think of the shame throughout the whole Bible, right? The disgrace and where he's going to end up. What God thinks of him. This should be an example. So what did he do? He wanted to be high and exalted. He wanted the reverence and honor of all the other angels that only belong to God. And so he's reviled and despised for all times. That's the result of sinful pride. But the same is true in the human race, in us. People do not honor and respect those who are arrogant and defiant, who view themselves as smarter and superior to others. People view them with reproach and scorn. Those who only think of themselves find no favor with other people. You know, pride destroys relationships. We know that. That's part of the message tonight. So let's look at this throughout the book of Proverbs. Go to chapter 6. You know the list. Maybe you were thinking about it. I alluded to it, that the things that God hates. Pride is detestable to God. And you'll see it should be detestable to us as well. Proverbs 6. It starts out in this list. 16. Well, we'll read the whole 16 to 19. I think it gives you a complete picture there of all the things that God hates. Amen. It's not the complete list of everything, but we'll see some more later. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. They're detestable to God. A proud look, pride, right at the top. A lying tongue. Don't be a liar. Amen. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Think about the flood, pre-flood. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Be careful who you run around with. Amen. A false witness that speaketh lies. Yes, God hates lying. He puts that in there twice, doesn't he? We know Satan is the father of all lies. I think God's telling us something here. Amen. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. Think about that. Someone who gets in, you know, and starts talking about this brother or sister and trying to win favor with someone else by putting someone else down. God said, I hate that. I hate that. But the top of the list is what? Pride. Why? It's the first sin. It's the sin of Satan. We need to stay away from it. In the Bible, there's other things that God hates. Obviously, I don't know if I have all of that. Yeah, we have a few of these things. You have a list here, but think about going back to sacrificing of children. God hates that. That's detestable. Why are they abomination? They're contrary to the nature of God. God hates idolatry. God hates divorce. And I was thinking a little bit about divorce, and I realized it happens and people are divorced. And I don't want to always bring this up, but remember, God is one. And in marriage, we are to be one. So that unity in marriage is the nature of God. But then when you are divorced and separated, that's going against the nature of God. That's why it is something that God hates. He doesn't like divorce at all. So we do have to understand why God says what he says and where we need to take our stand and why. So there are some things that God hates. Pride is there. So God hates pride. Go to Proverbs 8 and verse 13. Remember about what is part of the book of what is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? So if we're seeking after wisdom, then we will have the fear of the Lord. And if we have the fear of the Lord, it gives us a definition of the fear of the Lord. Brethren, these are some things that we ought to hate. I realize, you know, God says, I hate these things. Now he's going to tell us, all right, you hate some of these things too. What's he tell us over here? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Amen. You know, I realize we ought to get down less and less on other people and more on ourselves, because we should be harder on ourselves and our sin and our shortcomings than we are on other people. Isn't that what humility is, right? Pride is only looking down on other people, but not yourself. So we are to hate evil, but we're to hate pride and arrogancy. We're to hate pride. And the evil way, the froward mouth, do I hate? You know, it's like God says, hate this, and God says, I hate it. Kind of puts it right there in the same verse. Amen. Now, we seldom classify the sin of pride with the detestable sins that we mentioned. You know, sacrificing children, idolatry, pride. No, we don't want to put that in the list, do we? And so, if God hates it, we should hate it. That's the way it should be. If you're one with God, if you're in fellowship with God, then there are some things that you ought to hate. Amen. Pride is deceptive, is it not? Proverbs 28:11. It's not only detestable, it is deceptive. In what way? Well, we see it here. If I can find it. The rich man is wise in his own conceit. Right? But the poor, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, the Bible says. And what does it mean by that? A proud man reasons in his own mind that he's the measure of all things. He's the standard. Boy, if they were only like me, you know, this world would be great. That's what the rich man's thinking. And he believes his assessment. You know, this is what's, go to Proverbs 18:11, because it does state it again, so you know. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high wall, in his own conceit. So basically, we're getting a picture of a proud person. A proud person believes that his assessment of a situation is the only one. His answer to a problem is the only one. And therefore, he plunges ahead in a manner without calculating for a margin of error. And it is only too late when he realizes where his pride has led him. And what happens? Shame. Disgrace. So this is the deception of pride. Amen? You think, man, I know my way. I know the right way. I know the answers to all these problems. But pride is also subtle. Proverbs 20, verse 14. It is not, saith the buyer. But when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. You know, it's the idea of you boast to others of how great a deal we got, right? We may boast to others, but when the truth is actually told, we swindle them out of something. We lie to them to get the deal. To get them to lower the price. Then we boast about it. That's pride. That's deceitful. That's deceptive. It's subtle. So we have to really be careful about pride. Pride is detestable. Pride is deceptive. And pride is dangerous. Amen. 21:24, it's dangerous. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. You see, the danger of pride, as we're seeing in this verse, is pride is uncontrollable. A proud man who cannot control his pride cannot control his words, cannot control his arms, cannot control his feet, etc. Can't control himself. Think about how much damage a man can do through pride if you can't control yourself. That's, you know, one of the main sins of people today is their pride. No one can tell them any different. No, they don't listen to anyone else. And so they're in a bunch of problems and destroying people, destroying relationships. No one can tell them any different. It's their pride. So they end up hurting others. A proud man hurts others. Because pride will seek, a proud man will seek their own way at the expense of others around them. Who cares about other people, right? It's just about me. They boast in some great ability they have, and then they use that ability to harm others in their relationships. It may be physical strength. It may be a sharp tongue. It may be wealth. And in all those things, they're exalting themselves, and at the same time, they're abusing others. That's what a proud man does. So it is dangerous. It's uncontrollable, and it is destructive in hurting others. Amen? Well, I got my last point here. Pride is destructive. And I am warning you, this is the last point. You're saying, is it? Yeah. That's the message. Don't start thinking about, I'm going to the store now. I got time to go out and eat and going down to Whataburger. And man, pastor's giving us a lot of time tonight. No, don't go there in your mind. Amen. Pride is destructive. I can stretch this out. Don't worry. Proverbs 13:10. Think about relationships that have been destroyed through pride. Marriages. Families. Churches. My. Churches can be destroyed by someone who is so proud, they don't want to humble themselves, they don't want to recognize their sin, they don't want to get right with God. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. Right there it is. But with the well-advised is wisdom. We have to recognize that when we get into arguments, when we get into fights, it's because of pride. That's it. Only by pride cometh contention. We have to accept it. It's our pride. And it leads to destruction. You know how, how many times you have to go back and say, I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry I did that. I really don't know what I was doing, why I said it. And, your pride takes over. Your sin takes over. Your flesh. Sometimes the damage is so bad that relationships are destroyed. Churches are destroyed. Friendships are destroyed. Listen, pride is destructive, pride is dangerous, and there's a reason why. Because God will judge the proud. Proverbs 15:25. God judges. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but He will establish the border of the widow. Think about that. The comparison of the widow, the sweet old widow compared to a proud man. God's going to defend her. Amen. But He's going to destroy the house of the proud. We have so many other warnings in the book of Proverbs. Go to 16:18, right, the next chapter. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. What's going to happen? Pride enters in. Then you have the wrong spirit. Right? And you take a fall. That's the order. God said it. Here it is. And what happens? Proverbs 18, verse 12. Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of man is what? Haughty. Destruction is going to come when you're full of pride, when you're full of arrogance, when you're haughty, when you're lifted up in your own eyes. What to say though? Before honor is humility. The opposite is when you humble yourself. We have the right attitude. When you talk to people in the right way, then you are a person that people like, wow, they're different. They have the Spirit of God. They're a Christian. You get honored. Amen. Maybe it's just in a small way or in a relationship, but it will bring you honor. But pride will bring destruction. And then, Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Amen. A man's pride shall bring him low. Now think about it. As we began our message, pride is the sin that has been around the longest. It's the first sin. Because of the sin of pride, Satan was cast out of heaven. We could say today that the sin of pride is the chiefest of sins in our own generation. And because there are no generations exempted from the sin of pride. And I think you go to the New Testament, you start talking about the end times. and the character of man in the end times. I'll tell you, man is full of pride. Man is full of conceit. Man loves pleasures more than they love God. Man is doing his own thing, selfish. Even knowing the judgment of God, they enjoy it. They oppose God. They stand. They're bold in their sin. That's pride. There's an important verse. Go to James chapter 4. The New Testament tells us a little bit about this too. Verse 6, James 4, 6, but he giveth more grace. God wants to give grace. Amen? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Look at the connection there, the proud and the devil. How the devil works through pride, right? Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. Amen? That's talking about how you view yourself and how you mourn over your sins and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Look what it, I mean, you can just practically go through, walk through this. Look what it says there, verse 11. Speak no evil one of another, brethren. Only by pride cometh in contention. If we're going to humble ourselves, then we speak no evil. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And there's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? We do it in our pride. And God says he resists us. These are the attitudes that we ought to be careful of. Amen. Because we are not exempt. The victory over pride comes by submission and humility before the Lord. If you're not saved, you don't have the ability to humble yourself before the Lord. If you're saved, you have the ability to humble yourself before the Lord. And then, as you humble yourself before the Lord, you have the ability to humble yourself in other relationships and go and ask forgiveness. Recognize your sin. Recognize your pride. The sin of pride in your life. You have that ability. Really, if you think about it, if you got saved, you came to the Lord, you humbled yourself. You knew you needed him. There was nothing you can do. That took humility. And that's why it says we need to humble ourselves as a little child. You need to have that same humility. That's why you have the ability to overcome pride today, because you're saved. But if you're full of pride, you still need to get saved. If you never bowed your knee to the Lord, it's because Satan is still controlling your attitude, your spirit. And if you act in pride all the time, and that's the characteristic of your life, well, the Bible says Satan, his sin was pride. Satan's a liar. You know what characterizes our speech? Satan's a murderer. He hates others. What characterizes our attitude towards other people? Do we hate them or love them? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. Submit yourself to God. God gives grace unto the humble. We need victory over pride. No one's exempt, but we need to go to the Lord. If we're saved, praise God, He will. He will. If we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. He will correct our heart's attitudes. Amen. And He will allow us to get right and stay right one with another in our relationships. Pride hates, God hates it. We ought to hate it. It's detestable. It's deceptive. Be careful. It's dangerous. You have it. It's uncontrollable. And certainly, it's destructive. God will judge pride and a proud person. And the house of the pride, proud, will suffer according to God's word. Let's stand and pray. Father, as we bow before You tonight, Father, we've looked at the number one sin, the sin of Satan, pride. You say in Your word, Lord, a man by the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. We know how much pride will keep a man from seeking after God and getting saved. Pride will destroy our life because You will judge us. Pride will destroy relationships, churches. Only by pride cometh contention. Pride, Father, we know Your word says we're to hate an evil way. We're to hate pride and arrogance. Father, give us that holy hatred in our hearts even now. And help us to meditate on ways either we show humility or pride in our own lives by our attitudes, by our words, how we treat others, how we look at our own life, Lord. Help us not to be conceited, to recognize how frail we are. Father, to remember the message in the morning that we are grass and we're fading away quickly. We are grasshoppers in Your sight, Isaiah chapter 40. Father, we're nothing. But yet, when we compare ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise, and we think we're something. Father, deliver us from this sin of pride, our own pride, Father, and Satan's work, what he wants to do in our lives to destroy us and destroy our testimony as Christians. Through pride. So help us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. What's God doing in your heart? The Bible says we're to humble ourselves. We are to draw near to God. He's going to cleanse us. Amen. He wants us to cleanse our hands, cleanse our hearts, purify our hearts. God wants us to recognize our sin of pride and humble ourselves before Him. God wants us to get right in our relationship with Him. Then He wants us to recognize the pride we have towards other people in our relationships, in our attitudes, in our attitude about ourselves compared to others. We have to face it, amen. You have to confess it. You have to admit it. You can't get victory over sin if you think everyone else is guilty but yourself. You have to admit your own sin. And then you have to humble yourself before the Lord. Are you willing to do that? We talked about revival. We pray for revival. Maybe this is one of the keys to revival. Seeing ourselves, seeing our pride as God sees it. And begin to have a holy hatred for our pride. Amen? For being haughty, for being conceited, for being arrogant. These are things that God hates. And if we fear God, we begin to hate Him. Amen? especially the sin in our own lives. And I think that's part of revival, getting a holy hatred for the sin in our own lives. When does revival begin? When you draw a circle around yourself and you say, I need revival. God, revive me. Don't think about anyone else. Amen. If we see our own need, God will do a work. That's same with pride. Pride can even keep us from seeing it. Isn't that how deceitful it is? How subtle it is? We think, no, I don't have pride, when it's not true. Think about Zerubbabel, how he just came to the end of himself, and God said, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. God said, when you come to the end of yourself, that's when I'm going to take over. Amen. That's when I'm going to fill you. That's when I'm going to use you. But if we hang on in our pride and think we're in